Tom, welcome to the show.
Hi, nice to be there.
So why have storytelling reviews been so overlooked in the past? Has the art form that I've been participating in for all these years secretly had a place in consumer culture?
Well, you may have been overlooked because for some reason people thought that reviews were, well, you know, what the word kind of says. It's like an analysis of how something is. And the very first reviews were looking at, tech products mostly, right? Okay, this is the latest iPhone, and they were going to analyze the kind of the technical aspects of these products. But more and more, we see that reviews are used for people to kind of vent their frustrations about experiences.
Mm. So you've done some research into TripAdvisor as an example of a platform. What are some of the storytelling techniques that you see consumers using over there?
Yeah, indeed. We looked into about 200,000 TripAdvisor reviews. And the interesting thing is that these are written by, just about anybody. These are not trained, novelists or anything like that. But people are using those techniques. People are writing about characters. They're creating a plot. They're creating suspense and drama. There's all kinds of stuff happening that you would normally expect to see, in a good TV series or in a novel.
Mm. Now, when it comes to something like, for example, food reviews, you often see ridiculed online things like people putting a story about how it led to their family having this recipe and why they're sharing it when some people just want to read the damn review. What is the importance of still having an actual, substance to these stories? And how, if someone like myself was to go and write one of these reviews, can I make sure that I'm not bloviating too much?
Yeah, sure. I mean, the thing with the substance, with the story behind it, is that's how we relate to each other. So if it's just a dry piece of text, it might not get ridiculed, but it might not get anything at all. Mm. It doesn't get viewed. It doesn't get shared. We like the reviews. We even thank reviewers if they try to engage us, if they try to draw us into, hey, how was this for you to cook whatever you were making?
Mm. So it sounds like it's actually a more effective method despite some people's complaints about it, which is interesting to me.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it increases the persuasiveness of a review, increases if you include these kind of story elements by about 14%. So what that basically means is, you get a number of likes or thumbs up or whatever the metric is, you would get 14% more of those if you include chronology, causality, those kind of elements.
That's really, really interesting. So it has a greater element of persuasion and shareability, as you say. Do you think that it's also because the kinds of people that are reading those reviews are more engaged with that style? Or do you think that it's, a universal thing that we are connecting with these stories?
No, this is very much universal. We are story animals. We love stories. So the moment we see these things, we just get drawn in. And the interesting thing we saw is that when you ask people, so why did you like this review? Why did you give that review a thumbs up? People don't know. It's not something that happens to us consciously, but we are drawn to the ones that are more story.
Mm. And then in terms of the actual design of websites like TripAdvisor, do you see them starting to cater towards these story reviews? Is there like on the dropdowns, the story section and the actual numbers section? Should websites start catering for these kinds of things to appeal to different types of consumers?
Well, yeah, and why not? But I would go even one step further. If you're a service provider of any sorts, right, think of how can you actually put the experience of the service in a story format. If we go to a restaurant, there's an obvious chronology, right? You get in, you sit down, you order something, you have food. But there's a lot of experiences that don't have that story format in them yet. But if you build it in, it's going to be much easier for reviewers to write good reviews for you. And hey, that's in the end what draws new customers to your store.
Mm. And then in terms of being a reader of these reviews, how can people actually pick, the wheat from the chaff? How do you know what is a story that is just disguising what is actually going on? And how can you tell where the actual substance is in that review?
Ah, yeah, very good question. Yeah, that's the hard one, right? Because if there's one thing that that we have as humans as well, is that we believe fiction to actually be true. Mm. We actually get so drawn in that we don't see what's not true. Now, there are a few things you can do. if the review is too structured, like if it's really, really clean and there's no hesitations, there's no back and forth, there's no, oh, I forgot to mention this kind of stuff, then it might be a bit too studied and, hey, this could be a commercial, you know, a troll farm that is trying to write these reviews. Another thing that is sometimes there when people are trying to lie in reviews is that they use a lot of adjectives. They just make it way too, you know, flowery.
Yeah, yeah. You know, that's interesting. I mean, I try and avoid too many adjectives when I do write these story-like reviews, but perhaps I do edit them a bit too much. Maybe it starts to seem a bit too clean. That's really interesting. All right, well, Dr. Tom Van Leer, thank you so much for joining us here on 2SER. Absolutely fascinating to talk about this.
You're welcome.